Chapter 2. Nadine rolled sideways towards Maxwell and let his big, bear-like arms wrap her up in a sleepy embrace. His neck smelled sweetly musty, and traces of last night's aftershave lingered on his skin. She could feel the hairs on his chest rubbing against her breasts, and his resting heartbeat echoing through her ribcage. The sun was streaming through the yellow and red sari silk draped over her bedroom windows, and the calming sounds of outside activity floated over her bed like a summer breeze. A dog barking, a child discussing his plans for the day with his mother, car engine starting, front doors opening and closing.
Cup of tea?
Oh, yes, please. Maxwell pulled his huge frame from the bed, squeezed himself into Nadine's much too small red silk robe, and gently padded off towards the kitchen. Nadine stretched herself out in the newly spacious bed and smiled as she heard Maxwell performing his usual clattering pillage of the kitchen drawers and cupboards, unable even after 3 months to lay his hands on teaspoons, mugs, and tea bags without first exploring every possible location. She clicked on the radio and listened to the homely babble of Radio 5 Live presenters for a while, and suddenly realised that despite the traces of a headache lingering around her temples, a vaguely nauseous sensation emanating from her stomach, and the slightly embarrassing memory of yet another scene with Maxwell in the restaurant last night, she was feeling quite inexplicably, deliriously happy. It was a Saturday morning, the sun was shining, there was a man in the kitchen making her tea, and she had no plans whatsoever for the rest of the day. Maxwell wasn't usually here at the weekend. She'd only seen him last night because it was Dig's birthday, and Dig liked Maxwell and had insisted that she invite him. She wasn't used to waking up with a man on a Saturday morning. It was nice. They could do couple-y things. They could go for a walk, or go out for lunch somewhere and read the papers. Or they could just stay in bed all day, watch the telly, eat bacon sandwiches, chat, and have sex. This, she decided, was one of those moments. One of those utterly perfect moments in life which you absolutely had to draw into your lungs and hold there and absorb every drop of. Because that was what life was all about. If you expected eternal happiness, then you missed the essence of life that was contained in moments like this.
There you go,
said Maxwell, gently placing steaming mugs of tea on the bedside table. Mugs, Nadine noticed, that she never used. Her emergency mugs. Ugly ones her mother had given her, decorated with insipid roses, fading defeatedly after 10 years of washing up, and kept at the back of the cupboard. Mugs that only someone with no sense of design or aesthetics would have pulled from her cupboard, when presented with a selection of at least 20 more attractive mugs. She felt a sudden burst of irritation, and her little happiness bubble exploded over her head. Why couldn't he be perfect? Was that too much to ask?
For God's sake, Maxwell, she bristled, waspishly. Why do you always have to choose the ugliest mugs in the kitchen?
Eh? Maxwell looked stumped, and Nadine felt flooded with disdain. At the precise moment, she should have felt guilt.
Haven't you noticed, she continued, that when I make the tea, I always use those Deco mugs, or the Simpsons mugs, or the South Park mugs? You know, the nice mugs. Haven't you noticed that I never, ever use these mugs?
She pointed at them in disgust. Maxwell shrugged and shook his head.
What's wrong with them? He asked sadly.
Ha, exactly. That's exactly it. If you don't know what's wrong with these mugs, then there is no point in having this conversation. Nadine knew she was being unreasonable, but she couldn't help it.
Do you want me to change them?
He offered. Nadine jumped out of bed in exasperation and gesticulated angrily.
No, Maxwell, I don't want you to change them. I just want you not to have chosen them in the first place.